Well, in our praise and testimony time, Donna didn't get up, so I'm assuming that my boys talked to her and told her not to. Yeah, got her anchored with a baby. Good planning on your part, strategy. But you didn't tie me down. I just want to mention that Don and I are both very happy. Ryan likes to play games with us. He likes to show up in the middle of the night without telling us that he's coming, things like that. But he didn't manage it this time. He had to call me from Chicago saying, how do I get out of here? Driving through Chicago at night is not an easy process if you've never done it before. But he got home, and he's here. And tomorrow Chris is home, and this will be the first time in about 3.5 years that all five of us have been together. So we're kind of excited about that. Yeah, so... Jason heads back to Bragg on Wednesday. Ryan heads out on Thursday, and Chris arrives tomorrow and leaves on Saturday. So you probably won't get opportunity to see Chris. But it's just nice that we're going to get together. We are going to have opportunity to have our whole family get together on Tuesday. There'll be like 20 or 25 of us all gathering. And that'll be kind of cool. So that's my praise and Donna's praise right now. We got our boys home. And tomorrow we'll have all three of them. So we're happy campers right now. Okay. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians as we continue on in our study. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become our wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we seek your wisdom. We seek your strength. Lord, we don't want the strength of the world or the wisdom of the world. We want your godly wisdom and your godly strength. Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit here right now to open our hearts and our minds to hear and understand your word. And it's godly wisdom and it's godly strength. that we might not chase after that which is of the world, but instead we might seek to follow where You have called us. Father God, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me as I preach this morning. That my imperfections and problems and peculiarities wouldn't get in the way, but instead, Your Holy Spirit would fill me up and flow through and just bless Your people who are here and hear Your word this day. That each one might know that they've heard from You, might be encouraged, and brought closer to You. Even if that word of encouragement brings a word of rebuke. Father, we pray for Your name to be lifted up and glorified and Your people to walk in Your ways. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul started last week dealing with division in the church. And it looks like he's changing tracks, but he's not. He's dealing with it, but he's dealing with it at the root. So let's anybody here think that they're smart? I do. I think I'm smart. Chris Johnson, pull it, raise your hand. I know you think you're smart. You know, no, and you are smart. So is JD, and I can go down the line. We've got a lot of smart people here. By earthly standards, yes. And that's supposed to preach my sermon from back there. It's just. And we think we're smart, but when we look at the wisdom of God, are we? No, we're not. That was the whole thing with Job, wasn't it? We had all these guys thinking they knew everything, and God came up and said, those guys don't know anything. Not compared to me. That's what God told Job. Told us. When He shows us time and again, is that the wisdom that we have and the strength that we have is nothing compared to His. He intentionally used as His means of salvation for you and I something that is going to cause people problems. That the wisdom of the world would think was foolishness and would be a stumbling stone to the Jews. Well, what's the problem with the cross as far as the Jews are concerned? Well, it says in God's word that cursed is the one who's hung. If you've been hung up on a tree, you're cursed. Cursed of God. It's in Deuteronomy. It's like, wow. But Isaiah comes and tells us that this is exactly what's going to happen. See, to the Jews, the cross represented something which was undignified, which was dishonorable. God wouldn't be undignified. God wouldn't allow Himself to be treated in a dishonorable manner. He wouldn't do that. At least that's what they thought in their own wisdom. In their own preconception, whatever. The cross is this huge stumbling block. Now remember what a stumbling block was. It was the biblical burglar alarm. you put this block, the stone, in your doorway area, traffic path, where most people would try to walk in the middle of the night. If somebody walked in your house in the middle of the night and they don't know where it is, that it's there, and they stub their toe on it. Now, remember, they're wearing sandals, so they go, owie. Try it sometime. It works. Wear sandals and stub your toe. You'll make a loud noise, and the people will wake up and then be able to capture you and turn you over to the police. Well, this stumbling stone is there because people are trying to get to God by going around His will, by doing things that are contrary to what He wanted. This passage that is quoted here, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." This is Isaiah speaking to the city of Jerusalem, to the city of David, speaking judgment to them. Why? Because they've left God and they're seeking after the wisdom of the world. They're worshiping other gods, they're doing a little idolatry here, a little wisdom of this, a little of that. They're not doing what God said to do. They say, "Well, no, we know a better way." And Isaiah says, "No. God's going to get you on this. God's going to hold you accountable. And you're going to have to pay the price. And there will be judgment. Because if you don't do it His way, you can't do it." Well, now the cross is also, to the Greeks or to the Gentiles, seen as just foolishness. First off, the whole idea of incarnation to the Greek mindset was kind of ridiculous. The philosophers of the age, God can't be man, can't be flesh, can't be. That's just ridiculous. Just don't even talk to me about that. You're just spouting silliness and absurdity. I mean, how would you... You're being told that you're silly and absurd with what you're saying. And that's what they thought of the presentation of the gospel that Paul and Apollos and others brought. Didn't make any sense. It's contrary to their ideas and their wisdom of who they imagine God should be and must be. See, God's Word says this is what's supposed to be going on. This is the way it's supposed to happen. But they're going, "No! The cross? That's a symbol of defeat. That's not victory. That's the Roman Empire showing that they have control. That's not God's victory. What, are you crazy? You're idiots." That's the attitude. That's the attitude that most of the world takes today when we go to them with the wisdom and the word of the cross. We say, "Jesus died on the cross for your sins." You say, "You're talking crazy stuff. That just doesn't make any sense." And they're right. It makes no sense when we try to understand it with the wisdom of man, with the philosophy of the age. It is a stumbling stone if we look at it where we take our preconceived notion or our idea of who God is and ought to be, and we say, "This is the definition of God," and we don't let God speak and say what He is and who He is and what He's going to do. Well, the fact of the matter is that the division that we have going on, because people are saying one person was better at leading people another, and the way of following God is a little bit better. And Paul's trying to wipe that away, and he's pointing out, no, the wisdom of God is what's real. The strength of God is what's strong. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. What? The foolishness of the cross. But to those whom God has called. Those whom God has called. Therein lies the difference. I cannot lead a single person to Christ. I can present the gospel, but you have to be called of God. The Holy Spirit has to be working within you and opening you up and saying, I'm calling you. Hey, I want your attention. You then have to say, yes, come Holy Spirit, talk to me. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. You have to listen to the call in order to follow. And when I speak the gospel message, those whom the Holy Spirit is working on, sometimes it comes out as anger. Ever speak to somebody who the Holy Spirit's working on and you present the gospel and they get mad? You got one hand, one truthful person. Been there, you know. Yeah, anybody ever been the mad person? You're hearing the gospel? It's the Holy Spirit working on us. Say, hey. Because we find in the cross, in the message of the gospel, salvation, redemption, holiness, the wisdom of God. We don't find that in philosophy. We don't find that in reading the great writings of these ancient philosophers and the different things there. We don't find it in all the different various religions where they say, you know, well, God is this and God is that. What we find at the cross, when the Holy Spirit is calling us, is grace. And forgiveness. Redemption. Redemption. Anybody ever redeem a coupon, Peggy? Yeah, Chris is like, what's a coupon? Peggy's like, she lives for them. What do you do? Well, you take it and you give it to somebody and they give you something back. Redemption. God paid the price to get us back from what? From sin. From the power of death. He redeemed us. That means that we're now in His possession. We're His possessions. His people. His, not ours. His. And therein lies the wisdom and the strength of the gospel. See, it doesn't make any sense if we try to go at it by philosophy, and it kind of just seems wrong to think that God would allow Himself to be abused in such a manner on our behalf. To die the most shameful death, yet be without sin. I mean, not deserving of it in any way. Yet He did it for us. That God would consider me to be of such import that He would go through such a thing on my behalf? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Except for love. God's love for us doesn't make any sense outside of the message of the gospel and the reality of the transformation that occurs at the cross. Now, the gospel message would be just words if it wasn't actually transforming. If those who heard and received the gospel weren't actually changed. But they are changed. We are changed when we hear the gospel. When we receive the gospel, when we follow it. And it's because of God. It's because of what He's done and His call to us. So we can't claim that anybody else is better, because each and every one of us got there the same way. I can't say I'm better than you. Why? Because I got salvation the same way you did. I didn't earn it. It was a gift of God that I received through the calling of the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple. That's how you got it, isn't it? Anybody here not get it that way? Receive it some other way, come FedEx or UPS? So that's the way it works. So we're called of one Spirit. We're called of one God. So we're one body in Christ. This division that was happening, what's going on? That breaking up, the schism that were occurring within the body is going, no. Why are you doing that? You people, you all come from the same place. None of us are more wise than the other, because our wisdom is nothing. It's the wisdom of God. We weren't important before we knew God. We weren't powerful. But now we have the power of God. Now we are members of the household of God. That makes us pretty important. You are a child of God. Can you think of anybody more important than the child of God? Other than God? I want to put that disclaimer in. Huh? No! I mean, that's pretty... it's as important as you can get. That's who you are. That's who we are. Through the gospel. So we don't have any means to boast, because we did it our way. You know, I did it my way. No. There's only one way to do it. God's way. Through the work Jesus did on the cross, and we accept it or we reject it. We accept it or we reject it. And we can only accept it if we're called of the Holy Spirit. Not because somebody does a really good job presenting it to you. Not because before you heard it, you read all of Plato or Socrates. And then you studied the teaching of Siddhartha and Hare Krishna and all these other folks. No. You did it because God prepared your heart, because God called you, because the Holy Spirit said, come. And you can only say yes because it's the Holy Spirit who's giving you the faith. Come, man. So we're all one body. We've got no reason to boast. We didn't do it. God did it. God provided for our salvation. And God called us and gave it to us. And it makes no sense apart from God. And it seems like weakness until the strength of the world tries to come against it and the strength of the world just crumbles. Because it can't touch it. See, the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of the world. The foolishness of God is more wise than the wisest of man. And we are the benefactors of God's grace and glory, His good news. Not because of what we did, but because of what He did. And all we can do is stand here and say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of trying to find ways to quarrel among one another, we should be finding ways to be united with one another. We are told so that no one may boast. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. Because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Our boast shouldn't be, I had a really good professor at Crown College. He taught me all about it. I used to attend Pastor so-and-so's church, and that was the way. No, the way, the truth, and the light is Jesus Christ and no one else. And our boast is to be solely in Him. So boast this week. Boast every week. But let your boasting be in the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that we would indeed boast in you, and that our boasting would bring unity in us, that we would seek to be brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would recognize that it's the work that you did on the cross, that the world just looks at and shakes its head and says, I don't get it, that brought victory over the world. Lord, you use those things which are weak Mary and Joseph, a couple of teenagers, with a poor family. You chose them to be the earthly parents of yourself. You came and you walked the earth not out of any position of power or authority. You weren't a king. You weren't a high priest. But you did come with the most powerful authority, and that is of your own presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you went to the cross, and you died. Not because you had sinned, but because we had sinned. You died that sinless sacrifice so that we could be redeemed. And you redeemed us, each one whom you called and who heeded your call. Now, Lord, may we follow you and boast in you, the wisdom salvation the holiness, the redemption of God. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing, "My Jesus, I love you."